Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out, and we are part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. Will T, what's good, my man?
Nothing much, man. How you doing, my brother? Wasn't here last week, so, you know, ready to get into it, talk a little bit of sports, hang out with my dude for an hour, and, you know, we go from there.
You know it. See, what's been going on? I was in, you know what I'm saying? I was in New York.
You was in New York?
Yeah, me and the girl, we're in New York, man.
I call it the girl.
The girlfriend. She's my girlfriend with the girl, you know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry for using wrong lingo. Sorry, I apologize. Me and my significant other, my girlfriend, we were in New York.
What part of New York were you in?
We were in Brooklyn. I had an oxtail pizza from Brooklyn. Oh, don't make that face. You want to see? Look, that's my problem with you. You don't want to take on your African roots, your Nigerian roots. Like, you know what I mean? No, like, how can you not? You can't make that look at oxtail.
I think I'm a little bit too loud. Hold on. But no,
you good?
Okay, no, I was just going. No, I love oxtail.
Yeah, on a pizza, right?
But not on a pizza,
bruh.
Listen. When I order a pizza, I want tomato sauce. I want some. It doesn't have to necessarily have to be mozzarella cheese, but I want cheese. And there's special type of meat or specific meats I will eat.
This is what they're on a pizza. This is what they're trying to teach you. It's they tell you that you should not have on a pizza. You should have your oxtail pizza.
How was it?
Man, freaking delicious. I want to say the F word, but freaking delicious. Oh, no, this is not that show. I saw your face.
What besides oxtail, what else was on it?
It was oxtail, and it was like curry. Then it was like sweet chili type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was bomb, bro. Real talk.
Like, I'll go there again. I'll take your word for it.
I'll go there again. Like, that was like the highlight. That pizza's the highlight.
So you went to New York, and the highlight was just an oxtail pizza.
Dude, you know who I am. Like, because I went to Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Man, like, that's too many people. That's a COVID cesspool. They all in one. Like, seriously, that thing is crazy.
I know. I understand.
Like, I was there. I was like, my girl was like, oh, how you feeling about Times Square? I'm like, this thing is terrible. Look at all these people. Like,
without a mask?
Yo, I mean, I guess a lot of folks did have masks, but a lot of people didn't, obviously. So it's a big place. I mean, it was a lot. Like, it's my first time. That's my first time really being in New York. I don't count when I was younger. When I was younger, I don't remember anything like that. But definitely my first time being in that type of environment in New York. You know what I mean? Like,
glad you got a chance to experience it, man.
Yeah, it was an experience. It was an experience.
You went this past
week? Yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the tank fight?
No, I had to watch it when I got back.
Okay.
Because I wanted to. We were in Brooklyn, and it's crowded, obviously, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was thinking about getting tickets, and I was like, but she was like, the nosebleeds. And I'm like, nah. I mean,
it still would have been good to experience it, just to be in the atmosphere.
I feel you. Like, I don't like nosebleeds.
I'm the same. Depending upon what it depended on what arena it is,
yeah.
Right? Because, like, some arenas, they have it where it's like you literally feel like you're looking down and it's not, you know, as you go up. So, you know, the view isn't obstructed or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even though you're far away, it doesn't seem
far away.
Far away. Because how they designed the arena and the seats.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I get it. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it. Then I'm like, you know, I can watch it on my time, and I can see it up close, and I can hear the boxers. I can hear the commentators say what they got to say.
See, I don't care about hearing the commentators.
I don't either.
I just want to see the.
I know. That's a very good point.
I like to mute the TV. Actually,
yeah, I mute it when it gets to a point where they start to annoy me. You know what I'm saying? Like, and. Yeah, I mean, that fight was good, though. We'll talk about it later, but I did enjoy that fight. At first, I was like, I was on social. I'll just say this much, because we'll go in detail with it, but this much. People were on. So, and I'm not going to act like I'm the biggest Tank fan or whatever, but when I judge a fight, I'm fair. I believe I'm fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching the fight. I'm like, I had some people like, oh, Rolly got Rowley's winning rounds before, you know, six.
He was.
Do you think so? I don't think
absolutely.
So. I had it differently.
I had it 3-2.
I had a 3-2.
I had 3-2 Rowley.
I had 3-2 the other way.
I had a 3-2 for
yeah,
Rowley.
Which is cool. I mean, some people had 4-0. That's what I'm saying. Some people had it like 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't have it that far. Like, I'm looking at it, I was like, okay. But I could see because, you know, Tank was basically waiting for a bunch. But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
Again, we can get into all that anyway. But, let me ask this out. This is, something's my way. I got to see what I'm doing. All right. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kine Report hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kime, and Jones Football hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well.
Oh, this is me.
Huh? Yeah, this is you, bro. I got
the show
you.
Can be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Here's what we have on this app. See, I try to change up. I tried to. I don't know if that worked, but I tried. We'll debate whether it's time for the Washington Nationals to put manager Davey Martinez on the hot seat at 8:20. We'll preview the NBA Finals matchup between the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. Host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, will join us for this segment. Finally, we'll talk about Gervonta Tank Davis knocking out Rolando Romero in the sixth round Saturday night. But first, the Washington Nationals are 18-32. As a manager, Davey Martinez is 284-312 with a World Series championship. So we just give him credit. He has a World Series championship. Is it time for Davey Martinez to actually be on the hot seat?
My friend, ever since 2019,
yes,
you have asked this question.
I know. During
this show, you have asked this question,
yeah,
right? 2019, he was able to turn around and win a World Series.
True.
2020, the season was shortened.
Yeah.
2021, it was a season that was the great sell-off in my mind,
okay,
right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
They sold, you know, they traded a lot of veterans, uh-huh, including Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, Kyle Schwarber,
uh-huh,
Schwarber. And now this year, they're off to an 18-32 season.
Uh-huh.
So for the fourth year in a row, you're asking, is Davey Martinez on the hot seat?
The same darn question I've asked.
Usually I say no,
yeah,
but for the sake of an argument, or the sake of a conversation, rather, because it's not an argument,
uh-huh,
I'm going to say I'm going to say no, this isn't the season to do it, but uh-huh, once the sale of this team goes through, because it's been reported, it was reported before the season started that the Learners are interested in selling the Nationals.
Yeah.
So once you know, if the Learners identify a potential buyer, and that potential buyer isn't happy with Davey Martinez as the manager, then maybe it may be the time to let him go. But I'll say this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because this team is so young and doesn't have, I'm not going to say so young, but this is a relatively younger squad than they're used to in the past. And this team is, I'll just be honest, devoid of the talent that it's had in the past,
uh-huh,
throughout the lineup,
sure,
and the pitching and on their pitching staff. I think this may be a season you keep Davey in. You allow Davey to manage, see what he can do with these guys, see if he can motivate these guys to at least smell 500. I don't think that'll happen, but I don't think you necessarily want to let him go thus right now. I believe he signed an extension after the World Series, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was like 3 or 4 years.
Uh-huh.
So if it's if it's 4 years, you know, that'll take him into 2023. You just allow him to, you know, go into the season as kind of a, you know, coach without an extension, and, you know, as you begin to transition this squad. Look, none of us know. I think that, you know,
and I'm starting to ramble on, but I'm about to cut it short.
No, you're good.
But there are a lot of questions around this team. One, Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Right? Offered him a huge contract. He'll be a free agent after the 2024 season. You know, he'll go to arbitration next season. He'll get a huge contract. I think he's making like 17 this year. I don't really like to put people's contract business out there, but I think he's making 17 this year.
Making money, man. He makes money.
He'll have another year of arbitration, and he'll get paid again. Ownership, you know, they're beginning to find a potential owner for new owners for this team. So a lot of things in influx. I would say keep the ship steady for now with Davey Martinez.
All right, we also put this out there on our social media platforms. Feel free to tweet us about Davey Martinez at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and comment about this on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. On Facebook, the homie George posted, yes, He said, yes, but that World Series should buy him another year. It's not all his fault. Paul on Facebook as well, Paul Van Scott says he has managed 596 games and is 284-312, the record I mentioned. So my thing about, and I said this, you're right, I've been very redundant about Davey. But I think it still holds true. As a manager, to me, Davey isn't special. And it's nothing, no knock on him. You know what I mean? It's not a knock.
That's fair. I'll say this. Mm-hmm. How many managers in MLB are special, considering analytics run the game right now?
No, I get you. To me, when you're a manager, there's things that – your talent does dictate a lot, but there's things you can do as a manager to kind of help your team compete. If you're that good of a manager, like to your point, there's not so many guys who kind of work the game as a manager. Like forever – I know a lot of people get they knock a guy that was here.
Dusty Baker.
He's a good manager. He's a guy that always gets his guys to play at a high level. Regardless, now, is the end game the thing that – the end game is what hurts Dusty, right? It is. It is what it is. He doesn't have a World Series. But if you look at every organization he's been to, he's done what? He's made his team compete, and they've always been at the top of whatever in terms of – when I mean the top, of the top of competing for winning their division, wild card, or whatever. They're always fighting for something.
You always feel there's a chance. Even though
everybody wrote off the
playoffs.
Everybody wrote off the Astros, right? Mm-hmm. Took the team to World Series. Everybody wrote off he went to Cincinnati and made him relevant. We all know what he did with Barry Bonds. Everywhere he's been, and he's done with the Nationals. Like he's won games, but that's neither here nor there. But in terms of consistency, sustained success, right? That's what let's use that term. You can't really say that you can get that with Davey. Even early Davey, other than the magical season, right, with the World Series championship,
mm-hmm.
he's had very good teams. Very good teams. Very good teams. I can name you teams that you will look at and be like, the problem with Nationals fans is what I've learned, because they've been debating Nationals fans for a while with this.
Okay.
You're spoiled. You're spoiled with the talent that you have. No, for real. I'm keeping it a buck.
No. Okay. I'll let you finish.
All right. You had a shortstop that is one of the most diverse shortstops in the game when he
Trey
was
here. Turner. You're talking about Trey Turner.
Juan Soto is one of the most incredible young talents.
He's historically great.
Historically great.
Up there with Ted Williams.
Yes. You've had Bryce.
Yep.
You've had even pitching alone. Growing up watching starting pitchers in baseball, you watch the Atlanta Braves, right? Of dominance of pitching. Pitching typically in postseason wins you games anyway. You've had Steven Strasburg, you good? Oh, it's okay. I got the levels. It's good. Don't worry about it. Steven Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin, even
Corbin's terrible now.
Now he is. I'm just talking about when you had him when he was good. Corbin. Even Gio was decent enough to compare as your third starter. We're talking about third starters. Even as a third starter, that's decent. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like, teams don't have that in baseball. Like, you don't have that. Other than knowing teams that have that, they're like a couple teams because they pay for this. It's the Yankees and the Dodgers. Those are two teams they have the talent the Nationals have had over the last some odd years. Because they're just uber talented.
Okay. So that's fair. Mm-hmm. I'll say over the last 10 years, right? Since 2012, since when Steven Strasburg, when there was the debate over should they pitch him, mm-hmm. you know, to and exceed that the pitch limit. And I think that was in 2012 when everyone thought this was one of your better chances to win a pennant, right? Mm-hmm. So it's fair that yes, this team has had talent, right? Mm-hmm. But I'll say this caveat. There have been teams who have had equal, you know, Boston,
there's another one.
New York, LA.
Yeah.
You look at Houston.
Yes.
You look at
kind of, but yeah.
You look at the Guardians. They aren't the former the Guardians. They've had talent. Come on, Wally.
Not like the Nets. They've had talent though. Like it's young. Which Indians team are you referring to? The ones that compete for the World Series.
Yes.
Not like the Nets.
But
they're well coached though. Terry Francona is a okay. Very but good, yeah, a there, bone there was manager. The sorry.
Yeah. So there were. But there is it fair to say that there was probably a 4 to 5 year stretch where people legitimately thought that the Guardians now had an opportunity to win a World Series.
Because the way they play baseball is a unit. But yeah,
hold on, and then I'm not done yet. Yeah. Then you also have St. Louis, the Cardinals.
I can make an argument about that too.
I think it's fair to say the San Francisco Giants.
Pitching, I'll give the Giants because the pitching was talented.
Okay, and then
the hitting wasn't talented.
Okay, and then I think it's also fair to say what is the other team that is escaping my mind right now? This is a terrible time.
Where which division? Because I can tell you by division.
Well, I'll stop it.
You had the Tigers too, a little bit too.
Yeah. Okay.
The Tigers a little bit too.
All of those teams have had instances where it's whether it's been a three to five year stretch, or sometimes a 6 year stretch where you thought those teams were legitimately could compete for a pennant,
uh-huh.
right?
Uh-huh.
The game has become so dominated by analytics now that there are only a few managers that are truly special. I forgot the Cubs.
Under Theo Epstein. Stacked. I agree. Stacked their squad.
Yes.
They're
really only a handful of guys that are actual with analytics the way the game's played now, and because they're and prior to this season when you didn't have to face at least three batters when you brought in a relief pitcher, right? The game has been was so so different that there are only a few guys that are actually special managers that are actually capable of coaching a team towards a World Series.
I agree.
Is that fair?
I think it's very fair. I think you're totally accurate. I think that, but when you're looking at an organization, again, when you're talking about is Dave replaceable? And to answer, because he's not special, he's replaceable. And you won't if you lose a Davey Martinez, you're not going to be like, oh, we let that one go.
I don't think that's necessarily fair. Well, I think some people will say, okay, is Davey great? No. But yeah. is he better than...
You don't know.
Is he a top 10 to 12 manager in baseball?
I'll put it this way. The Orioles have less talent. Way less talent this year. They do. Less talent than the Nets. And they're competing better than the Nets. And the Orioles don't have any pitching. They don't have any pitching. And they're still able to compete and win games. With no... In the AL East... When you see the Yankees,
you see Toronto,
and you see the Red Sox and the Rays. And the Rays.
Oh yeah, and the Rays were also one of those teams.
That's coaching. The Rays are a coached organization. That's not talent.
Like the Rays are analytics driven. Yes,
they have a scheme. Just like the we all watch Moneyball. It's like the A's. Like there's a system that they run to kind of work it, and they have a manager to fit that. So I give those organizations. I always feel like. When they don't even have close to talent as the teams that you've mentioned, close to talent. But they have a system, and they know how to do, they know how to hit their guys.
They have a frame. They have a frame. They have an analytics framework.
There's a reason why some of them dudes, when they go elsewhere, they don't play the same.
Okay.
There's a reason for that. But to your point, though, but back to this, it's like, you're right. There aren't special managers. They're not a lot. I agree with you. Like, I totally agree with you. I think that, and a lot of special managers aren't winning World Series. I can say that. I feel like there are great managers out there who don't have a chip, who Davey, that are better than Davey. And no knock on Davey, I'm going to be real. I had somebody argue me like, well, Buck Showalter to me is better than Davey Martinez as a manager.
I'll give you that. I think that's fair.
And he has no World Series. And someone was like, oh, well, that don't make any sense. All right, well, I'll give you an example in a different sport. Barry Switzer has a championship. Is he a better coach than who can I think of who doesn't have a championship? Marty Schottenheimer. Is he a better coach than right? No, he's not.
No, it's not.
So a championship doesn't make you what you are. Like, sometimes the talent that you do have helps you get that chip. Yes, you motivated him a little bit. You motivated, may have helped pull some strings. And I do want to give Davey credit. Like, that run to win the championship, he managed. Like, I'm not going to lie. He did some special things. I will not.
He showed you what he was capable of doing as a manager.
But again, though, at the end of the day, when you're under 500, like, you're not special to me. Like,
I get it. Okay, he's 18-32 with this roster, right? You don't have your ace.
Yeah.
You don't have Steven Strasburg.
Yeah. But if you're a good one, right? Mm-hmm. We just talked about a system. If you're a good one, I'm not saying you got to be 500, but you could be better.
All of us can be better in life.
This is true. I'm just saying you could be better. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you got to be special, but you got to be better.
You just have a thing for Davey. You want Davey gone.
I feel like when I look at this roster.
I figured it out.
What?
Davey is to you what Ernie Grunfeld was to me.
Probably so, because I just know why. Because I'm gonna be real with you.
Thank you. I appreciate you for a minute.
I'm gonna be real because when I look at the Nats, I'm an Orioles fan. But when I look at the Nats, I don't see, because even going to this season, like, and I guess for me, I'm gonna show you why. And Nats fans, you can listen to it. I watched the Orioles with Buck, right?
Mm-hmm.
Less talent, but when I look at the roster, I'm like, oh, that type of roster, Buck can work magic to compete. You're gonna have to probably do something, some trades during the All-Star break, but he can get you to a point into the first half where you compete. But then you're gonna have to give him help to take it to the next run, because the way Buck handles a bullpen and how he handles situations in the game, he allows you to kind of compete in the season.
That's fair.
Now you're competing, and at that time, Baltimore's competing with the Yankees. They're competing with the Red Sox, and these are powerhouse Yankee squads, powerhouse Red Sox squads. Even the Rays were a powerhouse squad, and they were still able to win the division and sometimes get the wild card. They got to ALCS. Even that being said, look at this team. When I see Juan Soto, I know he's struggling, but he's still Juan Soto, like one of the best players in baseball. Period. You know what I mean? You have Cruz. You have Bell playing great baseball. You know what I'm saying? You got talent.
Okay, look what he's done with Bell.
Oh, that's – look, but still, 18-32 with the Bell hitting as well. I'm just saying, like, this should be better. Like, I'm just saying it should be better. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it has to be great, but it should be better. You know what I mean? That's where I'm at with it. Because I look at this squad, I'm like, bruh, like, this, you're supposed to be – you're a World Series champion coach. I'm going to read one tweet about Davey at Power Boulder 69. He said, definitely the World Series win gets you a ton of leeway, but three straight last place finishes can't be overlooked. He doesn't have the players, but finished third or fourth overachieved. Martinez can relax through 0% chance of any change until the new Nats ownership takes over.
Yeah, I think you keep him. Look, is he a lame duck coach? Probably, mm-hmm. right? But you want him to keep your keep the ship steady uh-huh. for now until you make a decision, until ownership changes, the term is figured out.
Uh-huh.
And from my understanding, he has a pretty good relationship with Juan Soto, and Juan Soto is the star. He is the present and future of this organization. And if you aren't able to sign him, I will say it again, if you were not able to sign him, You don't need to make the mistake that you made with Bryce Harper by keeping him. Oh. You need to trade him expeditiously.
Expeditiously, like T.I. would say. Hey, the NBA Finals goes down Thursday. Host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze, will join us to talk about the finals after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces on Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. Chill.
Listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole, and the homie, Ray Jeezy's out. All right, man, Will, I'm waiting on the guest, the homie, but before he gets on, I know he'll shoot me a call. Before he gets on,
Thursday, game one.
You want to start? Go ahead.
Thursday, game one, Celtics, Warriors. This is probably, out of the last four teams left, this is probably the most ideal matchup for the NBA. From an advertising perspective, because you have the legacy of the Boston Celtics also with some new blood, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And then you have the established Warriors making that comeback after having two down seasons. So it's a matchup that I think a lot of people will tune into, and I think it's going to do a good number for ESPN, ABC.
I definitely agree with you. But like I said, the homie's going to be on, and I knew he was going to be on. Right now, we have host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze on the line. What's good, my dude?
My brother, what's going on, my man? It's been a long time since the last time we spoke, man. But I appreciate you having me on, man. Appreciate the invite.
Oh, no problem, man. And Just Blaze, I don't know if you know my man, Will T. I don't think you have you been on with Will before. I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
All right,
pleasure to meet you, Jess.
Pleasure to meet you, my man, and pleasure to talk some hoops with you fellas, man. Let me know what I missed.
All right, man. Will, you can start them off, bro.
No, I was just saying that, you know, Thursday night we have game one of the NBA Finals, Golden State Warriors, Boston Celtics. This is probably the most favored or ideal matchup for the NBA and also for ESPN and ABC and Disney. You know, with regards to getting viewers to watch this game. Uh-huh. You have the new, I guess, Boston, one of the legendary franchises. They have two young bloods who are kind of the next chapter in that Boston legacy with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And then you also have the Warriors on the other side on the West Coast, Oakland, California. And you have Steph, Draymond, and Klay Thompson. Can they do it one more time? But they also have a cast of new characters around them. Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Moody, and Wiggins. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. And then from an X's and O's perspective, man, you got Ime Udoka, who's, you know, pushing from a strategic perspective. He's pushing all the right buttons for Boston. And then you have Steve Kerr, you know, with that veteran group. So I can't wait to Thursday to watch this game. What do you think about this matchup, Jeff?
I agree with a lot of the points you said, man. I definitely agree. Well, I'll tell you right now, it's definitely ESPN and ABC's dream to have these two teams in there. We know low-key they was pushing for this, so I'm not surprised in the slightest by seeing these two teams. But with that being said, it is an excellent quality matchup. Two of the NBA's best powerhouses, two of the NBA's best teams, two of the NBA's best, you know, strategic teams, tactical teams, and two teams that are battle-tested. So I think it's going to be an excellent matchup going into this NBA Finals, and it's going to be a real clash of styles, but in a good way, because you have the number one offense in the playoffs, in the postseason this year with the Warriors, and then the number one defense in the Boston Celtics. So, and both teams match up really well. It's going to be there isn't really too many weak links, you would say, or one person that you can pinpoint on either side, whereas this is the guy they're going to take advantage of or try to take advantage of. So I definitely love the aspect of that it's a lot more evenly matched and both teams match up well and both teams can be versatile with the matchup. So I got to give them give it a lot of credit for this finals. I'm hoping it's good and it better be good because I'm sick and tired of these blowouts.
hey, Jess, so what's your key matchup then? Or what are your key matchups in this series?
Listen, I hate to be cliche, but to me, the key matchup is Tatum versus Wiggins, to me, in my opinion. Wiggins has been getting a lot of love this postseason. You know, he's been coming into the forefront a lot more. He's been playing excellent, no doubt about it. But he's been getting a lot of hoopla in the past couple of rounds for his quote unquote defense on Luka, but Luka was still dropping over 28, still at over 50% shooting. So when these people on Twitter who are saying Andrew Wiggins shut down Luka, I really don't know what game they were watching or what series, because it was a team aspect. So, but Wiggins did play nice. He had a great dunk against Luka, so they're using that to carry over everything. But if we're being honest here, Wiggins, I mean, yes, he played Luka, but guarding Luka was more of a team effort in terms of the Golden State Warriors, in terms of their scheme. But going against JT and the Celtics now, that's got to be a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah.
JT is an isolation player, a one-on-one guy, as well as Luka is also. But like I said, they didn't have many options to go around. So
True. In
Boston now, you can't be doubling up or having the whole defense catered towards one guy. Uh-huh. Because we know JT can pass, and we know the Celtics clearly have other weapons. So it's going to be up to his individual defense to see if he can actually slow down JT. Because JT going to give you 30, 35, about three out of these games. You know we're going to get a 30-piece. So I'm looking forward to that matchup and seeing also looking for JT on his aspect to be very aggressive. Because I've been very vocal about, JT is one of my favorite players in the league. But one of the things I'm always worried about him is his intensity. All the time. Like, he can be a little bit mild-mannered, and maybe that's because he's young, I guess. You know, they don't have that same fire or whatever as the older guys do. But I need him to step up the intensity in this series, because we know Draymond is going to bring in. He's probably going to switch out on him. So I'm going to need not only the great playmaking and great shot-taking and shot-making, also need, you know, a little elbow every now and again. You know,
some playoff basketball. Some real playoff
basketball. Let me give me a hard foul. Give me a little something or a grunt or a shimmy or something. You know, I need something from JT, so I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, Jess, you talked about Boston and their offense. I want to talk about what has gotten Boston to this point, which is their defense. When we think about the Warriors and their offense and how they attack teams, they usually attack teams with their five at the free throw line, and then also Draymond playing out at the three-point line. Their five at the free throw line and Draymond playing out at the three-point line. And you think of Robert Williams and you think of Al Horford. Those guys, the way that Udoka has played those guys, he's pretty much played it with Robert Williams playing, being that last line of defense in the paint and along the back baseline. When we think of, you know, just how Boston runs their offense and, you know, how Golden State runs their offense and how Boston has been able to defend all of their opponents up to thus far. Do you think that the offensive scheme of the Golden States is going to put more added pressure to Boston and how they like to defend with the way they run so many screens? They run Curry and Clay off of screens on opposite sides of the floor.
Absolutely. It's definitely going to be the biggest test that the Boston Celtics defense has faced thus far. And if you look at their road getting towards the finals, they've faced some elite offenses, and they've actually faced all different types of threats.
Yes.
All different types of offensive threats. You had a tactical team in the Nets. You have a big dominated physical force in Giannis. And then you have a Heat team that can hit you more of a system base, and they can hit you from all different angles depending on who's hot on that night. And then you also had Jimmy Butler to deal with. So this is definitely going to be a test to their defense and for their defense. But I think they're up to the task, because if you look at the Celtics, how they play, they switch everything. Uh-huh. So, you know, switching defense always do the best against the Golden State Warriors. If we remember a couple of years back, one of the only teams that really challenged Golden State in their major run was the Houston Rockets with Chris Paul on there. So we know every Chris Paul team likes to switch on defense, and that's pretty much the best defense against the Golden State Warriors. We know how much they go around screens. We know how much movement they have. They've been playing that way for the longest, and no team in the league has ever been able to really figure it out all of these years now. It's been about 7 years now they've been running the same offense. Uh-huh. So the Boston Celtics are definitely going to be tested, and I think their switching style defense is obviously going to help them. But also, when you're switching, you also have to bring an element of physicality towards your defense. And that's where I think Marcus Smart is going to be so essential, because when Steph Curry, when Jordan Poole, when Klay Thompson come off those screens, and Marcus Smart and Al Horford are switching, because, you know, it's usually the big and the point guard, they're switching the majority of the time. Both of those guys need to be physical with both the screener and with Steph Curry. Because they're going to have to bump him off that line, because we know Steph Curry, he's not going to stop running around those picks. He's not going to stop running back and forth. Even if you cut off the first initial screen, he's going to double back and go get another screen. Uh-huh. And then if you cut off that one, he's going to go get another screen. So their defense will be tested, but we'll see if they are disciplined enough to actually give the Warriors a run for the money. Because it's all about discipline when you go out in the Warriors.
All right. Let's take a pause for the calls. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com. Right now, we're rapping with our host of the Above the Rim podcast, Just Blaze.
All right, so Just, you went right into it. You actually went into something I wanted to talk about. You mentioned the road that the Celtics had to get there, but I'm not going to just say the Celtics. On the road to the finals, which team, and I think I already got the answer, has been tested the most, and will this benefit or hurt that said team?
Oh, definitely the Celtics. You know that. I know that's an obvious answer. I mean, they, like I said, they had to face three different types of offenses on their way to the finals. And I think it helps them, and it probably hurts them a little bit. But I think for the most part, it helps them, because now they've basically seen everything. Even though they still haven't seen this offensive attack, they still are equipped to – one thing we do know about the Celtics is that they can adapt. Uh-huh. That's one thing we learned. So if they can adapt to three different offenses so far, elite offenses, great offensive teams, they can definitely adapt to the Warriors. So definitely I think it would help them that their road has been tougher. And if you look at the Warriors, come on, they stay low-key. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news to people, but they haven't played any healthy teams yet in this playoff.
You already said
run.
That's. I agree with you. I agree with you, bro.
Come on. Like, they haven't been challenged at all, bro. They have not been challenged. Nuggets, obviously not. No way they were beating them. Uh-huh. So the Grizzlies gave them a little bit of a fight, but once Ja went down, we knew it was a wrap after that. Uh-huh. And then they didn't get to play the Suns, but then they played the Mavericks, who, I'm going to be real, they had no business in that Western Conference Finals, the Dallas Mavericks. So they are a first or second round team. And also they didn't have Tim Hardaway Jr. also, so they had some people injured as well.
Yeah.
So the Warriors haven't really faced a healthy team that's ready and hungry as the Celtics are right now. And I hope the Celtics are really just do their homework, man. Uh-huh. That's all I ask of them. Do your homework.
No, I agree with you, Jess. That's the one thing. You know, Steph is great. I like to give credit when credit's due. Steph is great. Klay was hot that last game against Dallas. But to your point, when you look at the road, like the road that the Boston – that doesn't always equate to winning a championship, right? I'm not saying they're going to definitely win because of the road that they went through. Because like you said, that can hurt because they can be tired, right? Like they can be there could be some mental fatigue going through all those tough teams to get to this point. But if we're going to look at, you know, iron sharpens, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? That whole thought process is that you went against KD and Kyrie Irving. You went against the Greek Freak.
I mean, you went against KD and Kyrie, who had only played like 20
yeah,
games.
Yeah, but you're still together. Going, but you're still, that's still pressure going against those two dudes who are skilled individually. You can't
I'm
sleep.
I got you. As you go going, down this road.
Yes, yes, I feel you. You're going against the Greek Freak.
Who, minus have, Chris Middleton. Know,
but still the Greek Freak. And you're going to, and you're going against Jimmy Butler and that Miami's team, Miami Heat team that a lot of people thought were going to go to the finals. And you took
Kyle Lowry and Tyler Hero.
But he
were banged
wasn't,
up,
but they but. You went through them pretty easy.
I'm just adding these caveats on as we talk.
But you went against Jimmy Butler. You weren't losing a star. You weren't losing a tremendous – Kyle Lowry was a decent player this year. He wasn't like an all-star this year.
No, I've always said I thought that the Miami Heat, this version, was probably the best team in the East if all the collective pieces were healthy and all of the collective
Al
pieces
Al Horford was out
for
some of the games too Marcus Smart was out. And they were banged up. But they, like a team and a unit, they were coached up to get past it. When you look at Golden State, and this is the issue, I mean, the Warriors – to me, this is probably not the strongest Warriors squad to get to the finals. I can say that. Like, not the strongest.
Okay.
In terms of a champion. I'm going to be real. Because, like Jess said, you got – like, you played Denver in the first round.
I think I'll say this. I think that's an easy cop-out because
– oh, go ahead. You think this is the strongest? You think this Warriors is
no,
the strongest?
No, I don't. I don't. If we're looking at all three of their previous title chip teams, two of those teams had a – out of this world talent.
Yeah, Kevin Durant. Yeah, oh yeah, true. Okay. Very good point. Oh, very fair. Okay. Yeah. Obviously, yes. But the one they had and the one they lost to the other great one, LeBron, the one they did lose to and they lost to LeBron. I'm saying all the chances they've been, anytime they've been to the finals, I can say, like, I haven't been impressed with this run compared to the others. Because the other ones, I felt like you put out your best and they were going to whoop that ass. You could put their best and they're going to be the favorite. And you weren't even scared of nothing.
I just think maybe what you're trying to say is that they have a little bit less proven players this time on this playoff run, like proven guys, like Kuminga, he's all right, but he's not proven. Uh-huh. Poole, this is like his first playoff run.
He's killing though. I'm not going to use killing. That boy killing though.
He is. He gives them something that they haven't had in a while. Yeah. Though, off the bench, nice little squad.
But even
that can get his own shot.
Yeah, but even Clay isn't like the Clay that we know. Like, he got hot, but even Clay ain't even real Clay right now.
That's fair, but I'll say this. If we look at the distribution of talent.
Oh, they got more talent.
This one, yes.
They got more young talent.
The distribution of talent
is
deeper.
It's not eight. It's deeper.
No, it's deeper than it has been on previous teams.
Oh, yeah. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that even – all right, so we're looking at the road and who you compete with. And, like, dude, you went against Denver without Murray. Like, everybody knew you was going to beat them.
Without Murray and Porter.
Everybody knew you was going to beat them. Like, everybody knew it. All right? Okay. Then you go to Ja is gone. Like, the crown jewel is gone.
Even though this team was plus 20 games without Ja?
It's Ja Morant. No. I'm going to say it's my fans, bro. Bro, I'm just one thing. I know you will.
I'm speaking facts. I'm speaking facts.
Okay, so let me speak facts.
I'm countering
all right,
your argument.
So just hear me out then. So I'm going to make somebody – he's speaking facts. So just – who is the most clutch player down the stretch? One of the most clutch players down the stretch in the NBA.
For the season?
Yeah, who's one of the most clutch players down the stretch?
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about Ja.
Exactly. One of the most clutch players down the stretch.
Even though his team was, I believe,
you watched the playoff games?
Plus 20
you
wins.
You watched the playoff games?
Hold on.
My point's not done. That's why I'm not done yet.
I was just adding that caveat.
So those games down the stretch, when they lost, who wasn't on the floor?
Ja Morant.
The most clutch player down the stretch, one of the most clutch players in the league, you don't have that because now you can't run sets down the stretch. So we all know in basketball, when it's the 2-minute, 3-minute mark, you need what? You need that guy. The guy that was the most clutch for you wasn't available. You had to go to Dylan Brooks for clutch buckets.
Even though your team was plus 20 wins.
That's not my point. So even though, no,
I'm speaking facts.
No, I'm speaking facts too. We both watch basketball. If you can't score,
listen. What I'm saying is is a proven empirical fact.
Let me talk
what
basketball.
You're saying.
Let me talk
hold on,
basketball.
Hold on. What I'm saying can be proven with statistics.
Okay.
Right? What you're saying can't be proven
bruh.
With statistics.
You ask, that's the wrong person. I don't do analytics. I talk basketball.
I talk basketball too.
So
I'm talking.
All right, so facts. Just hear me out here, Just.
I'm not taking away from your point.
No. I get you.
But
you're talking.
I'm adding.
I know what you're saying.
If you're saying
you're analytics, you're using
I'm
analytics.
I'm not using analytics.
You're
using
stats.
There's
20 plus
statistics.
Games. So I'm going scenario basketball. I'm not even going with the record. I'm going scenario basketball. When you're down the stretch, if I have, let me use a player. I have Craig Elo. Craig Hodges.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Jordan for Chicago Bulls. Michael Jordan is out. But Craig, I have to go to Craig Hodges to get key buckets. Am I going to suffer?
Absolutely.
I'm going to suffer.
Yeah.
I have mm-hmm. John Morant, who's clutch down the stretch. He's not there in 2 minutes. I need to hold off the Golden State Warriors with Steph and Klay down the stretch. They're getting buckets. My guy, Dylan Brooks, who is a hardworking basketball player, but isn't an ISO ball player. And in today's basketball, it's a bunch of ISO. You got to be high screen or an ISO player. If you can't do that and you can't create for others, that's a problem down the stretch. None of them dudes could do that. Like, you watch the game, watch the closeout game. Unless you know already, watch the closeout, the last game when Golden State were on the run. They needed a player to create buckets down the stretch. They couldn't do it. They didn't have Ja.
Yeah, that clearly made a difference. We know, but no job, Dave.
But I can make
all,
the but I can make the point. But I can make the point. All I'm just saying.
All you're saying is stats. I got you. 20
no,
wins.
No,
20
all
wins.
I, all I'm saying. Listen, yeah. listen to
no,
me.
No, I'm listening to you.
I can make the point.
Yeah.
That within that sample size, when he's not there.
Yeah, they won 20 games better.
They're 20 plus games better.
What's their record with Ja?
Their record without Ja was actually better than
what's
their
the record
with
Ja.
If you didn't interrupt me, I was about to tell you.
18 what? Where's the record?
The record without Ja is better than the record with Ja.
No,
this year.
No, what's the actual percentage?
The record without Ja.
I'm not arguing. That's not what I'm arguing. I said, what is the record with Ja? I'm not arguing with, isn't that better? I said, what is the record with Ja?
I don't know, but I know.
So
let me ask you fellas this one question. You guys answer this, right? is that Grizzlies team, right, that you're arguing without Ja Morant, is that team better than the Dallas Mavericks team that they just faced?
Are they
without
better?
Without Ja. Yeah. Who's the better team?
No, without Ja. No, if I'm looking at a player, no, I'm gonna take Luka. Cause you got a dude. In the playoffs, you need a dude, bro. I don't care which – you can use the regular season to talk about. You need a dude. In the playoffs, it's stated. Just like in a tournament in March Madness, you can say you need a dude in March Madness in college. In the playoffs, you need a dude. You need a guy down the stretch that can get you a bucket. You can play team basketball. It's great, but you need a guy down the stretch to get you a bucket. Like, name me a squad that you ain't have down the stretch that couldn't get you a bucket that can win you a championship. It's rare. Maybe the Detroit Pistons – and at that, you could say those dudes substitute their game because Chauncey Billups would do that, get you a bucket down the stretch.
I'm just going to read off a couple stats. This team was 21-6 without Ja Morant.
Okay.
And this team outscored per every 100 possessions.
Okay.
One team's 1.4 more points without Ja Morant on the floor.
Got you. So my question to you.
That's regular season.
I'm not arguing.
I want to get your point.
No, this is easy. I want your opinion. This is plain cut simple. This is going to be easy. Cut anything. Are they better without Ja Morant?
No, they are.
That's all I'm done.
In my opinion,
if you're asking me from an empirical standpoint,
yes. My observation,
yes.
I don't think the team is better without Ja Morant.
Okay, that's all I want.
But all I'm saying is, as we have this discussion, I'm a man. I don't go off of people's feelings. I don't go off of people's observations.
Not at all.
I go off of hard statistics and data.
Yeah. I mean,
and the hard statistics and data
yeah.
per every 100 possessions,
yeah.
this team
okay.
was better without Ja Morant.
So this is my thing. If you're going to do that statistical thing, you got to keep that same energy for every argument.
Yeah, that's what I always do.
Got you for every argument.
Okay, but when do I ever have an argument? I don't even call it an argument. Whenever I have a discussion or debate. Look, I never say I feel. I'm just telling you.
No, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is for every debatable thing, like that same argument has to be applied for everything because
not necessarily.
So now you're just gonna choose when you're gonna use that argument.
That's generally listen.
No, listen.
I'm about to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Every situation isn't apples and apples, right?
True. Yeah.
Situations as you receive information, your stance on things change in life. That's generally how life works.
True.
So, if you ask, I didn't say that this. I said if we're looking from a statistical perspective,
which has been what I have said, and I'm not even against that. Truth be told, it isn't even part of my discussion. My thing is all about, and I said this when I started. I said off your basketball eye. That's all I said. You said this statistic. I said okay. I didn't debate that. Yeah. All I said was out of basketball. Watching ball, we've always chastised analytics, right? I think we pretty much chastise that.
As I get older,
that's fine.
I start to
accept it. Accept your analytics, okay? It's cool.
I don't accept it, and I'm not going to say I use it as a crutch.
Yeah.
I will say, if I'm going to have a debate with someone, I like to have a debate with people based on facts, off of what I feel.
No, it's not about. See, I guess again, sports is not to me.
Or an observation. Because an observation, there's a thing called perception. And no matter, your perception can be skewed if you have a bias. And if you want an agreement or argument to go a disagreement or argument to go a certain way.
Let me give my man Justin back in the argument. Okay. And it's got debate. I don't want to say argument. I don't like the term argument.
I don't even want to use debate. It's conversation.
Good conversation. So, Just, yeah. So you were saying, Just, you said that the Dallas Mavericks, right? Were they better than Memphis?
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm saying clearly, well, I'll let you guys answer, but I agreed with what you were saying that they were not better. So my point with bringing that up was that the Dallas Mavericks were the best team that the Golden State Warriors faced. Now, if the Dallas Mavericks are the best team that the Warriors faced, now, let's put that in the hierarchy. All the teams that the Celtics played and all the teams that the Warriors played. The Dallas Mavericks are a fourth place team in the West. The Celtics played the Nets, which were basically an AC team, but you know they were not an A-seeded team in the East, not an A-seeded talent team in the East. And then they played the defending champion, Milwaukee Bucks. Even though they didn't have Middleton, they're still a better team than the Dallas Mavericks.
I'm going to have one caveat for you, Just. You're a guest on here, so I'm going to have one caveat for you. I don't necessarily think it's fair for us to say that Dallas was the best team they faced because they faced the number two team, the Memphis Grizzlies, who were the number two teams in the West.
But I think it's hard. That's the only reason. Only because Ja was out. Because the Grizzlies are a better team than the Mavs, 100%. But when Ja was playing, he was dropping 30-something on them. They had no answer for Ja.
Okay, I think that's fair. I always add a caveat whenever someone's explaining something. I think there's nuance that has to be explained, right? For us to just say Dallas is the best team they face. No, that technically is not correct. Memphis Grizzlies was the best team. They played the number two seed in the West.
But I agree with you. What I'm saying is you brought up the supporting cast as your reasoning as to why the Grizzlies are better, which I agree, right? But when the supporting cast becomes the main cast, they're no longer as good as they once were. So the supporting cast of the Grizzlies is better than the supporting cast of the Dallas Mavericks. That's why they were able to at least hang with the Warriors a little bit, even more than the Dallas Mavericks did semi-fully healthy because they have a different type of attack. So what I'm saying is the Boston Celtics played, a Brooklyn Nets team, right? That's still more talented than that Grizzlies team without Ja Morant and maybe on par with the Grizzlies, even with John Morant. They just outplay them. And they not only outplay them, they sweat them. And then I'm saying they play the Bucks, which also has a decent supporting cast, even with Chris Middleton out. Because we see how they took seven games to take out the defending champion, the most one of the most dominant players in the league. And then after that, they went and played the Miami Heat, which was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. You get what I'm saying? The Dallas Mavericks are fourth in the West, but they would be lower than any team that the Boston Celtics have played in this particular run. And the Grizzlies would be the best team that the Warriors faced. But because they had a little bit of injury help, it dropped them down. Because you wouldn't take that Grizzlies supporting cast without Ja over any other team that's playing in the playoffs right now.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, so which means that they aren't as talented as the other teams that the Boston Celtics face. Meaning what we're trying to say, that they're more battle-tested, they're more ready. So the Golden State Warriors still playing first round level. If you really look at it, for three rounds, they've been playing a first round level team only because Ja went out. If Ja was there, this would be a totally different story. And I honestly think the Grizzlies would have won that series anyway, to be honest with you, because they had home court also. So that also makes a difference. But
we can agree to disagree Ja being on that point.
Really? Well, I mean that could have been a toss up because the Warriors could have went in there and won a game seven at home, but I think that series would have went seven if Ja was there the whole series.
I think go seven.
Yeah.
And if it was a fifth, we'd both be drunk. If my aunt had balls, she'd be
my uncle. I'm not listening to that, dude. I ain't listening to that, dude. We ain't doing that here, dude. We ain't doing that. I told you, you had your X-rated joint.
I'm just saying they gotta they're gonna have the Golden State Warriors are not gonna be cakewalking through these finals, and people like keep talking about experience, but the Celtics have been in the Eastern Conference Finals damn near three out of the last 4 years or five or something like that. So they got experience too in big games, and they play already two game sevens. So I don't think they're afraid of anything. So it's gonna be a nice matchup.
Sure. And just before I let you go, man, give me your prediction. First of all, I'm gonna give you two. Give me your finals. Who wins the finals, and also give me your prediction of who you think's gonna be finals MVP. I think I already know who you're gonna pick too.
Come on now. You know damn well I'm never picking no Warriors anything. I think never I know. For me. So I'm going Celtics and six, my brother.
All right.
Celtics and six because I don't know if they could win a game seven in the K-7. So they're going to have to win in six if they're going to win this. So I'm going to go Celtics and six. And you know, final
thing, know
definitely my son, JT.
I know. Lights can do stick together. I know.
That's my son.
Hey, man, thanks for being on. Hey, tell our listeners about the next pod and where they can find it, and also how they can catch you on social media.
Yes, my brother. Well, I'm going to record tomorrow. I'm going to do most likely my finals preview, just a quick snippet. So make sure y'all go and check it out. It'll be out probably on Thursday. Uh-huh. It will be out the day of the finals. And you can find Above the Rim Podcast. Find me on Twitter at JustBlaze_513. All of that good stuff. Check me out. Mole, my brother, I appreciate you, man. Fellas, I appreciate you guys joining me. I appreciate you guys inviting me on the episode.
No problem.
I appreciate you guys inviting me on the episode. And let's do it again, fellas, because this was a great conversation, man. I need both of y'all to come on my show, man. Yeah. We can have a nice disagreement.
Hey, we can do that, man.
I'm always down to have conversations. It doesn't have to be a disagreement. I'm always down to have a conversation.
Bring those facts. Bring those facts.
I will. Just let me know what we're talking about, and you know, I'll study up.
100%, man. It will be a pleasure of mine to have you fellas. So once again, I appreciate you fellas for inviting me on. Man.
Oh, man. Anytime,
man. We appreciate you,
man.
Brother.
You know I appreciate you, homie. We'll chat, my man.
Of course, my brother. Take it easy, man.
All right, take it easy. All right. Again, man, that's the homie, Just Blaze. Follow him on Twitter at JustBlaze_513. Let's go right to the next joint.
Okay, Saturday night, Tank Davis had an impressive KO over Rolly.
Call him Rolly, bro.
Yeah, that's
Rolando
Romero.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. You were in New York. In Brooklyn, actually, eating oxtail pizza, and you didn't get
it. Oxtail pizza. It was cranking, bro.
But you didn't get a chance to watch the fight live. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Not after. Live. After.
Yeah.
For free.
So let me ask you this.
Just had to get that in there. You just felt good about yourself
I had to play that. I had to make sure that was said for free.
Okay, so what did you think of the fight?
Oh man, I loved it. I think I told you when I said it on the show. I had a 3-2 Tank going into the six.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he was looking for his punch. I mean, Rowley is very unorthodox. I mean, he throws a nice jab. He was working off the jab in this fight. I think when he was doing that, he was very, very successful. It was a good game plan. And then, you know, you could tell that he hurt Tank a couple times. And he can feel it. And he thought he kind of felt like he can kind of take him out. Or he perceived that he could take him out. And I think that's when he messed up. So Tank kind of countered him a couple times. And then the last one when he called him good. And I think Tank said it after the fight. It was almost like the Manny Pacquiao Marquez fight when Marquez just caught Pacquiao at the right spot, and Romero kind of fell into that punch, perfect storm.
He did fall into that punch. He walked right into it.
Perfect storm, and you know usually I don't like usually I don't like when people are like the ref calls the fight after one knockdown. I don't really like it, but when you see his legs, you kind of get it. His legs were still wobbling after the ref tried to get. He gave him ample time to try to get situated.
Not only his legs, but you could tell from his eyes right? Because when he asked him to step to his right, he delayed at first, and then when he stepped, his legs were wobbly, and then you could look in his eyes, he wasn't all there. So the ref definitely made the right decision to stop the fight after the knockout. But I'll say this, Rolly Romero did himself a serve. He put himself in a good position going forward. Here's why. Whether I personally have a disdain for this type of way of trying to promote a fight with
the beef and the talking.
The going over the top with name calling. It's not natural, right? But people like that. People will purchase fights for that.
Sure.
And if you put Rolly Romero in with another guy, another top 135 pounder, and he looks good and he talks like that on the build up to the fight, he'll definitely start to build a name for himself, and he will stay in contention for top fights at 135 because people will say, hey, all right, we need a name. Rolly Romero, he's a guy who will promote a fight. Look at two of the best welterweights in the world, Errol Spence Jr. and Bud Crawford. Both of those guys get knocked down by the boxing public and boxing media because they aren't over the top, with how they promote a fight. Calling other guys out and disrespecting guys on the run up to a fight. But America loves that because America is fractured at this point. So people enjoy that type of, lunacy.
People like negativity.
Yeah. People feed into that negativity.
You see it all the time.
People are going to.
They react to negativity.
Yeah, people are going to buy into Rolly Romero and his personality.
I can tweet a star about something perfect, something great, like what they're doing is good. But if I say something disrespectful, well, it may be perceived disrespectful or not perceived negatively, they're gonna respond.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to aggregate just the conversation we had with Just Blaze, right?
Yeah.
With just us two and Just, right? If you would have put that and say, Urban Sports Scene argues about who.
Oh my God.
People would click on that, and if you put some of our other more thought provoking conversations, people probably aren't going to pay attention to
it. No, not at all. That's the truth. It's the truth. It's the same reason why, ESPN.
Look at Patrick Beverly, right?
Yes.
Patrick Beverly, he's making himself into a star on ESPN on Get Up on their two biggest brands, Get Up and First Take. Why? Because he's saying controversial stuff. He's
about
saying
Chris Paul. Yeah.
And he's saying things that, whether they're true or not can be perceived as negative. Yes. So people are going to buy into it.
And that's the reason why they put him on there. They knew exactly what they were doing. All right. So let's go right to Tank and another impressive fight, impressive knockout. Like, dude is on some Mike Tyson stuff. I'm not gonna lie, like really. At first I was like, when I was watching him initially, I was like, oh, he's good, but I want to see him box. You want to see him box. But no, he just has that power is just real. Like it's real than I thought it was. I knew it was great, but it's consistent. It moves up and it moves up well. So looking at all that, looking at his, what he's done in the past, with look what he did Saturday night, who do you want to see Tank fight next?
I would love to see him fight Ryan Garcia.
Me too.
I think that would be an all-out action fight, but I don't think that these guys have met their apex of their career yet, where it's a huge fight, yeah. Right? Where it's a big fight. Well, let me take that back. Tank has built up a cult-like following in Atlanta and in New York. Yeah. And those have been the two places that he's primarily for, yeah, or the places that he's done exceptionally well from a live gate perspective of getting butts in the seat. And you take Ryan Garcia, he's a guy who I think he has like 6 million followers. And
he's a social media killer.
So, you know, if you can get those two guys, I think that's definitely a fight that would do numbers, as we like to say. And it's a fight that people would follow, not just because of, you know, I guess their personality presence or their social media presence, but also what they both do in the ring. If Ryan Garcia comes back in, and mentally he's at a place where he's healthy, because we know he stepped away from boxing to deal with his mental health issues.
Yeah, I want to see him fight Ryan Garcia. I think just because of where they're at. I mean, I would also like to see him fight. I just thought about it. I saw a post of him. He talked about Javante. I would like to see him fight Teofimo Lopez. I think that would be a good one.
I don't think I don't know if Teofimo can make 135.
Yeah, I know. Right? Yeah. But I think Javante can easily make.
Javante is what? He's 25 years old? 25, 27? Or
something like this. Like, he's 26. I want to say 26. I could be wrong.
Maybe physically, his body, he might be ready to jump up to junior welterweight. But if he's going to stay at 135 where he has the title, it's either Ryan Garcia, or if they really, you know, depending on how this Kambosos and Devin Haney fight plays out this weekend, that would be an interesting fight if it's George Kambosos. But I don't think that would happen. I think Haney wins the fight. I hope Haney wins the fight,
but we'll see. Kambosos' power kind of.
Yeah, but Haney is too...
He's skilled. He's too skilled. Yeah, no, I agree.
And then that possibly sets us up for Haney versus Shakur Stevenson.
That's the fight I want. I ain't going to lie. That's the fight I want. I think Shakur is like the next big thing. On Twitter, at Brick487774 talking about who we want to see Tank fight next. People got shade, man. It's another fighter below his level, probably for another fake belt.
Damn. Wow, okay. Well, I mean, people are entitled to their opinions, but I'll say this. I know there was some discussion about him potentially leaving Mayweather Promotions.
I think that's
because he was upset because he isn't getting the big fights.
Yeah.
And then you had Floyd Mayweather come out and said, look, I'm not trying to make other promoters fight. You're going to, you know, essentially fight the guys that are on Mayweather Promotions. Yeah. That mentality within boxing, you know, yes, the promoters win. Yes, certain advisors win. Yes, certain broadcasts win. But the fans ultimately lose. And you know, when you have a guy like that who's in his prime, from an age perspective, he's in his prime. But, you know, usually boxers usually mature. They usually hit their prime like basketball players, like around that late 20s, early 30s. When the physical and the mental start to catch up, right?
Mental just take over.
It's only going to hurt the game, man. And we see every week, just about every week, ESPN has what? UFC, mixed martial arts on, right? They have UFC, mixed martial arts, pay-per-views, right? And they have stacked cards.
Uh-huh.
And that's what, you know, as the economy continues to shift, per se, you know, and in the second half, we may see a recession. We may not, but we definitely are seeing inflation now.
Gas.
Don't get me started on gas. Bro, $90 to fill up my car, man.
It's killing me, bro.
$90 to fill up my car.
Like, they doing too much. They need to stop. But go ahead, man.
No, as consumers start to get a little bit more picky with their dollars, if you're not giving consumers the top fights,
they're not going to be excited
about this sport. And this sport, I'm not going to say it's going to die out, but it's not going to maintain the pulse on the general public that
especially
it has currently.
Especially at this lower weight where for decades, it's been the cream of the crop. Really, yeah. For real. Like, in terms of, like, when you look at welterweight, light, or a super lightweight or whatever, when you're in this realm, right now where we're at today, this is where it's at. Like, this has been where it's at in boxing. So, you said, Will, like, you got to eventually, promoters got to get out the way, and you got to give the consumer the opportunity to want to spend their money on a fight that, you know, that is going to capture the imagination of the world of boxing.
Yeah, I always say this. Heavyweights will get a great heavyweight fight will get the general public engaged, yes. Right? But for boxing fans, 135, 147, 160, those are weight classes that diehard boxing fans and you start to approach and get some of the general sports fans to get intrigued by a fight, especially if it's two in their prime fighters and a very good card.
Yeah, you know why? And also, to your point, what makes those fights dope is that you get a part two, you get a trilogy.
Yeah.
Because when you do it early.
Because they're so young.
They're so young, and you're not scared about catching an L. It's just like, because it's a competitive fight, those type of fights, you tend to get that type of, you get the trilogy or the part twos or whatever, to a point where, like what you're saying, the casual boxing fan now becomes immersed in it. You know what I mean? So
look, in September, it's been reported that we'll get Canelo versus Triple G. Triple G is almost as old as, I think he is as old as me.
Yeah, and he's still going to be a box office smash.
It's going to be a box office smash, but imagine if we had got that fight.
Yeah, I agree.
2 to 3 years
ago,
right?
Bro. Yeah, of course. And people are still clamoring for it. They've been clamoring for it. So that's my thing. It's like, when you look at, to your point, Will, it's like, take advantage of now, you know. And I think, Anthony Peterson was on a couple weeks ago, and he talked about how, basically, about the whole rumor about Gervonta leaving. Floyd, it was, you know, and no knock on Floyd, he said, like, you know, Floyd is for Floyd. But to be where he's at, and the money to be where he's at, being the, you know, probably one of the, I mean, probably, to some people, the best in the world, best ever, or, you know, top, whatever, wherever you want to put Floyd at, you know, he's an all-time great.
Not only that, but we saw last summer when Floyd fought one of the Paul brothers. Yeah. That still did, I think, a million buys.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, he's, whether we want to admit it or not, he's probably still the biggest attraction in boxing.
So he's going to do what's best for Floyd, which is not a knock. So it's time for Gervonta to do what's best for Gervonta. So he feels like he ain't getting the fights and he wants those fights and he feels like he's ready for those fights, then it's time for he can go out and get those fights. So, I mean, I'm all for Gervonta doing it, you know, leaving Mayweather if that's what he needs to do. A Nigerian brother on Facebook posted about this whole, you know, Gervonta, where his
what
next
did
fight
he
should
say,
be.
My brother?
Babatunde. look at you trying to use your fake Nigerian voice. I see you, dude. Hey, he says Garcia. I'm guessing he's meaning Ryan Garcia.
No, I'm not trying to make fun of Babatunde, you know, me and Wole have an inside
we
joke.
We do have an inside joke. But, yeah, Ryan Garcia. I think everybody wants Ryan Garcia. Because, you know why? Knockouts are sexy, excuse me. It is what it is. Two dudes are known to knock folks out. You get Ryan Garcia, and you get Tank, and you're just thinking that the first true punch that connects is going to knock that particular person out. That's the.
You know what? You know what? Actually, a Ryan Garcia versus Tank fight will remind me of that happened at 135 a while ago. That was a historic fight that people were really clamoring for. Right. It would remind me of a De La Hoya versus Shane Mosley type fight.
Oh, dude, really? That's dope. Yeah, it could be that way, and also it can go the other way.
Yeah, it also
could also be. It can be De La Hoya versus Fernando Vargas.
Yeah, it could.
But which went all the way left.
Yeah.
You know, but it could be. I see, because they're around the same age, right?
Yeah, I think they were around the same
when
age
they fought,
when they fought initially.
Same age, yep. Right? Yeah, that could definitely work. This would definitely be earlier, though. That could definitely work. But yeah, man, appreciate everybody for tuning in the show. I actually have fun. I like debating.
You love,
I love it.
Yeah, you love to debate.
I do.
Try to and talk over people.
I do.
I'm trying to
facts.
Make a point. Make
no,
a valid
no,
point.
I get that from though. Rest in peace, Dad. I get from my dad. I just talk over him too when we argue. He's like, let me talk. No,
But that's not how you have civil discourse, right?
No,
I feel like we're good. Like you're my brother, so I'm not. I'm never going to walk away from a disagreement or a debate.
I wasn't insulting.
It's just like, you know, I'm trying to make a point. I let you make a point. You let me make a point, and that's just how we.
And
it makes for better radio and allows people to follow the conversation.
They're good. They'll live.
Okay.
Look, you know what? You're African. You should know this. It's an African thing, too. All right? If you all know this, Will T is, I have anointed him as an African. Not like an African-American. An African. I have that type of power. Just saying. As a Nigerian-American my Nigerian, I touch you. Ooh, poof. He's Nigerian now. All right, hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at empiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, Will T and I believe we did a damn thing. I want to thank Just Blaze too for being on the show.
Yeah, and Just, you gotta keep your promise. Have us on your podcast, man, so we can have another lively basketball discussion.
Of course. I want some more lively discussion. Tweet it all out. I'm gonna get Will on Twitter too. It's like that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.